Woody, somebody's whispering in your ear. Everything's gonna be okay. Good morning, everybody. What a blessing to be in church, right, this morning? Thank God we're not in jail, we're not in the hospital. You don't know how many people actually are in jail or in the hospital and they wish they could be here. Remember when you were in jail? Remember when you were in the hospital and you said, oh, if I can only return to the house of God, amen? Some people literally know what that's like, amen? And their testimony is their testimony. Give me a good amen.
Amen.
So it's good to see the people of God, amen? This church is growing. Look at you guys, man. Thank God, amen. I guess you got the email, right, everybody? God's been good to us, right? To God be the glory, right, everybody? If you would, check in on your social media devices. There's a floater up there where it says locator or whatever. You can, and just say, hey, I'm at Living Faith Church. It should work with yours. It works with mine. You'll beat me to it. I haven't had any social media contact yet. Amen. And not that it's a good, I hadn't gotten on there. So I'm going to be on there too. So friend me and all that sort of stuff too. Amen. If you're coming to this church and you're part of it. So good. Let's welcome our first time guests. Are y'all here in the house? Amen. Let's welcome them. So glad that you're here. Blessed. And it would be an honor. Irma and I would love to shake your hand. We began 20 years ago in our living room in Leon Valley. We rented a home. Our story is this. It's true. We rented a home, and we told the lady that we were renting from, nice lady, and first time she ever rented. And she said, what are y'all going to do? I said, we'd like to start a church. And she said, you can start it here at my house. And I said, really? Because we thought we were going to have to like get a building or something like that. And she said, you can start. And there we were. We started. Katrina was running around. How old were you? Eight? Eight. See, I guessed it, man, and I got it right. The Holy Spirit's up here, right? Word of knowledge, amen. She was 8 years old running around. Now she's on the platform singing, amen. It takes a lifetime to do the work of God, amen. And people are counting on you. I don't know why I'm saying this and why I got it, but people are counting on you to be faithful to make it. I told one of my pastor buddies that was struggling. I said, man, don't give up. I'm counting on you, man. I'm counting on you to make it. I need you to make it today. And just a brother to brother with me. And I'm telling you today, I'm counting on you to make it. Amen. Because people are counting on your life. Amen. To keep going on with the essence of faith and what you'll do. You're going to grow. You're going to go on to God. I got a couple of things I need to, but that was just the chicken nugget I threw at you without the honey barbecue sauce. Amen. Let me go on. Amen. Slides real quick. Check in. We already, legacy offering is next week. We've been planning on this for about 4 weeks. We've told you about it a little bit. And so we wanted you to pray about it. It's not an appeal to twist your arm. I'm not going to show you a dog or cat that's, you know, in the dog pound and crying and show you any videos. I'm coming to you that you'll be the generous people that you always are, so above and beyond your tithe and offering. Last year, Global Missions, Foursquare Missions Press, we touched the ends of the world because that's a local missions organization that prints the gospel in different languages, Chinese, Spanish, Russian, if that's a language. And they print these gospel tracts and pamphlets and discipleship items that touch the world. You sowed into that generously because of what we did at the legacy offering. The church planting, the church in Katy, by pastored by Lee and his wife, slips my mind, in Katy, Texas, planting, healthy. We sowed extravagantly in their church plant. They were just less than a year old. Now they have their building because of what you did. City mission, shaping the future. Right next door, there's a fence, but crosses. We sowed into the John Jay Bible Club. Those are students that love God. They meet every Thursday morning early before school, and they have Bible study directed by Miss Meacham and Miss Easter. They just sent me an email a week ago. I was talking, and they never let us know. They sent me an email. They shut the devil. They didn't hear me bad mouthing them, but how many of you know Christians can't hear? Amen. Give me a good amen. And they said, Pastor, we just wanted to let you know what we've done. We've discipled. We've bought curriculum for the students. We've taken them to conferences, all because of the kindness of your congregation and what y'all did this past year. So thank God. Amen. Money was put to good use, and it's producing fruit. And so next week we'll do the same. Amen. And the next item is just what you're about as you invite and bring people. We printed up door hangers. We have plenty of business cards. I want you to invite family and friends. Bring them to the house of the Lord. Nothing like Christmas at Living Faith Church. There'll be the spoken word. There'll be songs rising. There'll be special things going on. What I need your help with is door hangers. Now, the door hangers are real expensive. How many know printing cost? So they're not to be given out like bazooka. I'm going to give these all out. No, give the business cards out like that if you want. Those are a little bit less. Even those, be tactful and strategic. You know, give out to a neighbor or two. Put a door hanger. Bless them. Write your name on it. I'll take you to church. I'll bring you. I'll buy you Starbucks afterwards. I'll take you to Lou. I don't know where you're going to do, but bring them to church. You know what? You know how they need Christ. Amen. Offer them the ride. Maybe they'll meet you here. My neighbors, this way across the street, good guy, but he doesn't go to church. How about your neighbor? Yeah, this guy, man, he loves me like a son, and I can't imagine him moving away. Irma and I would be heartbroken if he and his wife moved away. He's like a father to me in a way. He's my sensei. He shows me karate moves. This guy over here on this side, I hope he's not watching. He doesn't like me very much. I don't know why he doesn't like me. I'm a nice guy. I took his parking space once. Yeah. You have a neighbor like that? Some people just don't like you. Amen. Maybe they'll like us in heaven. Right, Irma? Yeah. So anyway, I'm not going to leave a door hanger on his. Probably not. Amen. But these people love me, so they're going to be invited, and I'm going to go do that. Amen. And so do that with me. Be just lay them at people's houses. Bring breakfast tacos. There's a sign-up sheet in the back that you can do that. That way we know how many to purchase from Taco Cabana or wherever, because we want you to bring them. You'll be blessed as you give. Amen. Bring a dozen or so and do that. Your neighbors will be blessed. There's a photo op that will happen second to none. It'll be over here. And again, it's going to be incredible to be part. We're Living Faith Church, faith that you can see as we gather, grow, and go. We're a going church. Let's welcome live the Facebook audience. Come on. Give them a big, big hand. Yeah. It's all good. Message notes. Do you have your message notes? You're going to need them. If you don't, raise your hand high, wave it frantically, and we'll get somebody to get them to you. Yeah, we have a man ready right there up here front. Anybody else? Yeah, over here. It's okay. Amen. You guys are our hardest workers. You need them. Amen. Go ahead. You were here early before they were printed. Amen. That's good. All right. It's all good. Amen. I want you to find yourself in Toy Story 4. Why don't you turn to your neighbor and say, you got a friend in me. You got a friend in me. All right, good. Now that second choice that you didn't want to talk to because they're kind of weird looking or kind of like, I don't want to look at that dude, but you need to look at that person and say, it looks like you need a friend. You're too serious, amen, in this place. It's hard to believe that the first Toy Story that ever, it happened 25 years ago. Can you believe that? And we're still young. I remember when our little girl, Rebecca, now she's 20-something. She won't tell me her age, amen. And when she first walked in and we rented Toy Story on a VHS from this place called Hollywood Video, and I was showing it to her, and, you know, she was like a little bit older, a little beyond toddler, being a toddler, and she was like, she saw the CGI because it was the first film Toy Story to do CGI, the way they did it with the computer and pixel. And she was watching it, and I saw her little face like look at it like in wonderment and just like, you know, because she saw Woody moving around. And then Andrew didn't get it because he was still a baby. And we got them toys, Toy Story toys that year. And Woody was real soft. You know, he just was like a, you know, the hard face, but he was, and then, but we got her Woody, and then we got him Buzz Lightyear. How many of you know boys need Buzz Lightyear, right? And Buzz Lightyear was this hard plastic, you know, and you push to infinity and, yeah, you know the gospel, right? And nobody, they didn't like playing with Woody, with Buzz Lightyear, because he was so hard. They both were yanking on Woody. I thought they were going to pull Woody apart, amen. They didn't, and so it's amazing that all four films, they stand on their own. Great films. You need to watch them. They speak not only to the young, but they speak to the old, too. Give me a good amen. Yeah. And so there's this purpose in all of them. There's like loss, life transition, Andy moves away. Man, we relate to that. Children going away, empty nesters, life transitions. And then this one deals heavily with purpose. about what you're supposed to be about. So I wanted you to find yourself in the story today. And so I kind of wanted you to vote because there's this new character, but out of the two best characters that are in Toy Story, the foundations are, who's like a big Woody fan? Woody's your boy. Who's that? Anybody going to clap? Yeah, give it up for Woody. Yeah, he's your favorite. Now, second one, of course, is no introduction needed, but Buzz Lightyear. Who's the big Buzz Lightyear guy? Yeah. Yeah, there he is. About half and half because of that. Yeah, amen. He won. Amen. He brought it to it. They introduce in Toy Story 4 a new character. His name's called Forky. And a Forky is, he's made out of a spork. And a spork is when a fork and spoon love each other. And 9 months later, they get a spork. Amen. So you know that's funny. Don't be that way. Amen. I'm not going to laugh. Okay, be that way. Amen. Baptized in pickle juice right now. Forky's made by Bonnie. First day of school orientation, she makes from trash. Woody orchestrates it all behind the scenes, and she makes Forky out of a spoon, a spork, and she puts her name on his feet. You know, the popsicle sticks, and puts them together with Play-Doh, and just makes a toy, and it's her favorite toy. He's ugly, his eyes are crooked, but that's her favorite toy. The Bible speaks of love that you have. See, God is love. Amen. He doesn't, not that he does love or he's loving. No, God is
love.
And so the essence of his love that we'll speak about big time next year is Jesus. How he came to this planet, how he came to earth to save us. Jesus came, and he was the essence of love. And at one time, because he responds differently than us, and he's human, but yet he was all God, yet he was all man, he showed us how to live on this earth. And through betrayal, through heartbreak, through denial, Jesus has this moment in life where he doesn't approach this individual that was his closest friend as like, you did wrong, and you need to apologize to me. No, what he does is he restores him. He gives him a new assignment. And I think every relationship in our marriages, in our children's lives as we raise our kids, in our church life, should be based upon what I'm about to read to you. You can look at it in your own translation, but it's in John chapter 21. It'll be on the big screen. You can look at it in your devices. And it's a beautiful story on how Jesus cooks breakfast for Simon Peter. And he tells him 3 times that he loves him. Y'all know the story, right? Amen. Peter had just gone fishing. In a way, some Bible people think, well, he was giving up on being a disciple. I'm going fishing were his last words before he saw Jesus. In other words, I'm going to give up that, and I'm going to go fishing because that's my old way of life. And Jesus had to remind him of his purpose, about him being a shepherd and doing the things of God. And so after breakfast, Jesus asked Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? And I think he was probably pointing to the disciples, or the big pile of fish. Are you going to be fishing the rest of your life? Are you going to be loving? Are you going to love? Who's going to be the supreme love in your life? And he said, yes, Lord. Peter replied, you know that I love you. Something very interesting about this answer is, Peter's answer is, I'm your friend. And the love that God was talking about here, that Jesus was talking about here, it was the agape love. Y'all know that agape phileos and eros love. It was a secondary love. It was like this brother, I love you like a brother. And Jesus was saying, do you love me with everything? Do you love me to the top shelf? Do you love me at the highest? I'm first place. And Peter has the audacity, after Jesus cooks some breakfast, after he saw Jesus knows all things and he knew he denied him, he said, do you love me first place? No, Lord, I love you second place. I don't love you that way. So Jesus gives him another shot. Amen. And I would have said, what? You know, no, Jesus keeps going because Jesus knows what to do in relationship. Then feed my lambs, he told them. He gives them an assignment. He doesn't rebuke him. He doesn't take away his breakfast. He said, Jesus told him, and he repeated the question, Simon, son of John, do you love me? And Peter said, Lord, you know that I love you. And again, I think I would have got it this time and said, yeah, I love you supremely. I love you with everything. But he said, no, again, he loves him the brotherly love. Amen. I like you, Jesus. Amen. A third time, 3. Simon, son of John, do you love me? Peter was hurt because he realized that rooster had crowed. He denied him three times. And the combination of, do you love me secondary or do you love me with everything? And Jesus asked him a third time. He said, Lord, you know everything. And you're reading my mail. And you know that I love you. And Jesus said, feed my sheep. I noticed right there as we pause, Jesus never asked him, are you sorry? Will you promise never to do it again? Nah, Jesus just keeps giving him an assignment. This is what you're supposed to do the rest of your life. Verse 18, it continues, I tell you the truth. When you were young, you were able to do what you liked. Isn't that true? You got that job. You dressed the way you wanted to do. You were out there, man. You were looking all fly, yeah. You went wherever you wanted to go. But when you're old, you will stretch out your hands and others will dress you. They will take you where you want to go. Jesus said this knowing what kind of death he would be glorified. And then Jesus says once right here, very first time, follow me, after he told them to follow him after leaving fishing nets. That passage right there is so powerful because at that very moment when he told them to follow the glorified, they say that legend, and if you've been in church long enough, that Peter as an old man was led to the cross, and then when he's being crucified right side up like Jesus was, he said, no, I can't be crucified like my Lord and Savior. Hang me upside down. And so they turn the cross upside down, which is even more painful. Even as an older man, can you imagine that? And he bled and died there as a martyr for Christ today. It continues, Peter turned around and saw behind him. He saw John. Jesus loved that disciple. And he leaned over, the one that leaned over John, and said, Lord, who's going to betray you? He was that close to Jesus, John was. And then Peter asked, what about him? I think that's so just like us. What about them? And God didn't give you that assignment to worry about other people. He wanted you to follow him. I can't worry about what that church is doing down the street so much. I pray for them. I want that pastor to lead well. I want that pastor at Liberty Baptist to lead well. I want them to have revival. I want God to touch their congregation just like I want them. I want good things to happen. But I can't be so concerned about them. I got to follow Jesus with you in this church today. Amen? Amen? And so what about them, Lord? And Jesus replied, look at his reaction. And I think he's telling all of us that you're maybe worried about somebody in your family. What about them? What about that situation? Or why did they get that and I don't? And why are they the favorite and I'm not? Or what about that church person that they get recognized? Amen. Just be happy for them. They got a new car. Give me a good amen. Amen. The AC works. Give me a good. It's new to them. Don't get in there all like, oh, what? The sound system ain't that good. Why do you do that? Why can't you just be happy for your brother? Give me a good amen. Amen. They made potato salad and the pastor noticed. Give me a good amen. Don't get all jealous. Jesus replied, if I want him to remain alive until I return, what's it to you? Jesus, he's smiling, I'm sure, Jesus, right? Look at the last phrase that Jesus gives him. As for you, and as for me, Nava, and as for you, what does he want us to do? As for you? Just follow. Follow me. I have my walk with God. You do too. Amen. Follow Jesus. Amen. Maybe we follow together, and that's a good thing. It's a season of joy, right? We wanted to buy that joy acronym, big thing, and Sam sold out. Praise God. Amen. To spend the money on that joy word. But it's a season of joy, Christmas joy. And there's this acronym that we all learn in church. It's the divine order of life. And if you do it the way God told us to do it, with the joy in the right place, then you're going to live life at its very best today. It's when we get other things messed up. So somebody say, Jay. It's for Jesus. Give me a good amen. Amen. And then we live Christ-centered lives. And have you noticed when you put Jesus first, that everything flows better? It's no accident. In Matthew 6, 33, seek ye first the kingdom of heaven, and all these things shall be. Amen. They're going to be given, but it's when we get it out of order that we don't get it right. The big rocks should go in first, and then the little rocks go in after that, and you have enough room for the little rocks. But if you don't put the big rock in first, which is God, your life is not going to vent. It's not going to work today. Others is an O, amen. And that means you serve others with joy. Have you noticed when you serve yourself first that things don't go well? Or we look at life selfishly today? There's a constant example in the Gospels. It's more blessed to give than to receive. And when you're blessing to give, there's this pipeline of God that just flows through you in your time, your talent, your treasure. The gospel doesn't lie. Amen. Can I hear a good witness in the church of God today? Amen. The final one is yourself. Why is for yourself today? Amen. And to do it any other way, it's going to be out of order today. You'll never find joy if you're putting yourself even above others. If you're not serving in your marriage. If you're not, if you're putting yourself even above Jesus. If you're making somebody else Jesus that doesn't belong Jesus. Amen. Amen. Man, she's so beautiful. Amen. She's so beautiful. She's not God. And your husband's not Jesus. And he's not your Savior. Amen.
Right, amen.
And so put her where she needs to be, above you. Give me a good amen. And put that husband where he needs to be. I wish somebody would say yes to the Lord in this place today. Amen. Amen. And so there's this challenge today about following Jesus and what you do in the first place. And as a disciple and a follower of Christ, there are three points that I take away from this story and Toy Story of finding yourself. The gospel, according to Toy Story 4, challenge you and I as disciples and followers of Jesus. The first principle is this. Somebody shout, new identity.
New identity.
So Forky appears, and the first thing that he says when he appears to the rest of the toys, he says, trash. He doesn't know much. And he says what he feels like he is. And it's such a striking picture. I don't know if this guy was a Christian that wrote Toy Story or did the screenplay, but man, it preaches today because we keep this role, and Woody keeps rescuing Forky from being in the trash can, from going back into the trash today. And over in the Gospels, God tells us that you're a new creation in Christ, doesn't it?
Amen.
That you have a new identity. Old things have passed away, and new things have begun. Amen? I'll help you with the hard ones. And so the children of Israel in the Old Testament were just like us. They would get so blessed by God. They would get increase. They would get, man, they would get this nation. They would get a king. They would get armies. They would get not one chicken in every pot, but two chicken there, two cars in every garage. And they would get so blessed. And as that happened, the nation would drift away from God. They would drift away from God. They would drift until they found themselves in bondage, in slavery. We do much of the same thing. We get blessed over and over. We forget that God has a word for us on Sunday morning. We're too busy. We slept in. I'll go during Christmas time. My back hurts. And we forget about our relationship with God. We don't stay devoted to God in our word time. We don't get involved in the house of God. That's not you guys. I'm preaching to the first service, okay? You guys are awesome. Y'all are just here, amen. You're saying amen at the right time, amen? So the children of Israel, they're now set free. And Moses, this great leader, has led them out to become this new nation. And they're walking out. They even cross this Red Sea that splits wide open for them. And you know what they do on the other side of it? Miriam, man, she gets down. She starts leading a dance. I don't know how she danced, but she danced. And everybody started dancing. They're singing the song, and they're dancing. Tambourines, it's amazing what's going on the other side of that Red Sea they walked across. I would have been happy too, right? The army got closed in and died behind them. And all of a sudden, as soon as the song is over, somebody starts looking around. And they start going, hey, we don't have much food. We only got like a little bit of food. Now notice, nobody had starved to death yet. Notice that they hadn't seen their children like, please, bread, sir. Give it. Nobody's begging yet. Nobody's doing any of that. This is what happened to them. Nothing is lost, nothing, but they have to have a little bit of faith. They're God's people. It says this in the Message Bible of Exodus 16, 1. Are you there with me?
Amen.
The whole company of Israel complained against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. The Israelites, why did God let us die? Why didn't he let us die in the comfort of Egypt? They were in bondage. They were in slavery. They were crying out to God, bring us a Savior. Bring us a Redeemer. And he sent Moses. And God heard their cry, right? But there was lamb stew and all the bread we could eat. It was the buffet, right? They filled you up on bread, right? And you brought us out here to the wilderness to starve us to death. And the whole company of Israel today, they went from singing to complaining quickly. It's such a picture of sometimes of a complainer, because they put their eyes really on things that haven't even happened yet. I've worried and spent time on stuff that doesn't even manifest itself.
That's right.
How many times have I put something way ahead of what God wanted to intervene and help me, and I've twisted it and made it be this ugly thing that I've imagined in my head, and God is waiting to answer me if I just ask Him for help. God wasn't going to let His people starve. He loved them. He proved it later. It's another Bible study. And over we complain for something that hasn't even happened yet. Amen. I'm not going to beat you up too much today. Is that okay with everybody? Amen. Woody has to declare over Forky, man, you're so great, Forky. Look at your eyes. Look at your hands, Forky. Look at those feet that you have made out of popsicle stick. You know, he doesn't do any of that. You had to watch a movie to know I was lying just now. You know what he tells? He said, you're special because Bonnie made you. You're not special. Your eyes are messed up. You got these weird looking hands, arms, and so forth. You're special because Bonnie made you. She put her name on the bottom of your feet. And he also did it with Woody on his boot. That's just like the Lord. You know why you're special today? Why you're unique? Why the thumbprint of God is on your life today? It's not about your talent. It's not about your ability. It's not about you accomplishing what you've accomplished. Thank God, by the grace of God, you've done. You know why you're special? Because the thumbprint of God is on your life. God created you. You missed a good time to shout, but that's okay. Yeah. It's always about how great our God is. God, you're so great that you would choose to use a people like Living Faith and help us and do the things that you've done in our lives today. Forky says this quote, I was meant for soup, salad, maybe chili, then the trash. Isn't that sad? Some of us have a life motto. I'm going to grow up, make some money, get successful, get married, have some kids, grow old, then die. And that's your purpose. That's our identity right now. And that's not the identity that God would put in your life.
Right.
You're made on purpose, for a purpose,
amen,
from God.
Amen.
To do something. Amen? Yeah. Life is short on this side, but God's made these a plan in your life that's eternal. He's already predestined you, according to Ephesians, that you would do His story, His rescue story, His testimony for your life, that you would testify back and say, this is what God's done. But we walk out and we start doing our own thing and write our own story, and it messes up. You take the pen from God. You see how good that goes. Let me know how that works out for you if you choose to do that today. I want God to write the story. Amen? As much as I try to do it, let's put it back into God. Let's just have a little bit of repentance right now. Father, forgive us in the name of Jesus if we've taken the pen. We put it back in your hand, my loving Father, right now. Write our story again. In the name of Jesus, we thank you for it today. Amen?
Amen.
There's this identity that I wish Blaine Bartell, if he was here, he told it. So I stole it from him when I took notes. And he talks about Lazarus and the resurrection, and Lazarus when he calls him out. And Lazarus was dead like 3 days. Remember that story in the Bible?
Amen.
And so he would have stunk by now. He would have. And Mary and Martha, their brother died. And Martha said, Lord, if you'd only been here, he wouldn't have died. And he didn't make it on time. But God sets him up. So in John chapter 11, are you there with me?
Amen.
He said this. And then when he said, Jesus called out to Lazarus, Lazarus, come out. And the reason why I had to say Lazarus, because if he would have just said, come out, all these dead bodies would have rose, amen? So he had to be specific, amen? Y'all don't get it. Y'all don't get that. Anyway, so when others call you dead, Jesus calls your name. Aren't you glad?
Amen.
And so the dead man came out. His hands and feet were strips of linen, and he was like a mummy. you know, coming out, smelling, and flies were all over him, and a cloth around his face. And Jesus said to them, take the grave clothes off and let him go. Notice he tells the people that are near to him to take. It's going to take other people cooperating with God, with all of us in this room, to take grave clothes off of our community, off of our school, off of maybe even people in our church. And you need help today. All of us are candidates where we're dead and then alive. Some of us have gotten on the other side of the hospital where maybe we're still traveling a little bit with a pole and the IV fluid still flowing, but we're still walking. Now we can start helping people. Maybe God's brought you to that place in this church, family, that you can start helping people. We all need help. We're all in the same hospital. Amen. But we're all resurrection stories of God in this place today. Amen. I notice that new identity in this story is never a solo event. You need people around you that will help you, that will provoke you to godliness, that will provide for you. Amen? Amen. That will show you the way. Amen. You can't win the battle alone. I never have. Neither can you. Amen. You need people around you to help you fight in the name of the Lord. Right, everybody? We get labels. That's a dead man, Lazarus. He's been in the grave 3 days. We get labels. Well, you're depressed because the doctor said you have cancer. And I know doctors do what they can, and they help us, and thank God for every doctor that serves us in this congregation. But you know what I'm about to say. Don't live with that label. Don't live with the label of cancer. Irma and I were speaking to a lady recently, and she was telling, I don't say that I'm a cancer survivor. I'm a cancer overcomer. I overcame cancer because of the blood of Jesus. Amen. And the world has a way of saying you're ADD, you're this or that. And that might be true, but God still heals that in the name of Jesus. And we have to keep looking forward to the things that God has for our future, because he rewrites our future. Amen. Don't let the world put an identity on you today, a patch that wasn't meant to be, amen? When Bonnie realizes that Forky is missing because he jumped out of the RV, what a psycho, right? He jumped out, and he gets lost, and they're looking for Forky everywhere, and they can't find him. Little girl Bonnie that created him, the mom and dad tell her, well, you know, he's a spork. You created him out of the trash. So they're thinking, they don't tell her that, but they're thinking, you can make another one, Bonnie. Let's go. We need to leave in the RV. And Bonnie goes, there's only one Forky. And she makes him stop. There's only one you. Only you can sing that song. Only you can do the Bible study. Only you can reach the community with the uniqueness and the love of God. Only you can reach that neighbor. Only you can be that grandmother to that child that you're raising. Only you can be the husband that you need to be, man of God, and shepherd your flock, your family today. You're meant to be, amen. You're born an original and you die a copy. Come on, man. Don't do that. Be the original that God made you to be, the uniqueness of God in your life today. Amen. Years ago, I just come from a great church in Ohio, and it was a rockin' church, man. The choir, the sound system. It was a church of probably about 3,000 people. And Irma and I served there. I was younger. I remember the sound system would be so loud, we were required to wear ties too. That's the way we rolled in that church. Associate pastors had to wear ties. That's okay if you're wearing a tie. I love it. We're a church of all people. Give me a good amen. And so the sound was so popping and hopping, and man, it was so awesome. My tie would vibrate. That's loud. Give me a good amen. And so when I got to San Antonio, I tried to act just like that pastor, the way I'd preach, the way I'd teach. And it was such a burden on me every Sunday to act like that guy and to comb my hair like that guy. Until God told me, you're not that guy. Be yourself. And I was myself. And then it leads me to my second point, which is good. I finally got free. So number two is this, freedom. Somebody shout freedom.
Freedom.
There's a new freedom when you live the way that you're supposed to live in God's presence and God's way. Don't die a copy when God's made you an original. Amen?
Amen.
And so Woody is alone and he loves this person that that's the enemy. Her name is Gabby Gabby. They have to say her name twice because she's so mean, right? She wants to take from Woody today. Woody knows what freedom is, and he's discovering it throughout the movie about freedom is really being a child's toy and that you're their favorite toy. And then he goes to the progression of being a toy when he gets forgotten and he's left in the closet and he's not no longer the favorite toy. But you know what he does during that time when Forky becomes the favorite toy for Bonnie? He celebrates. He celebrates Forky. He protects Forky. He does everything he can to go redeem Forky and to get Forky back to Bonnie. It's not like us, is it? See, when we see somebody become the favorite, we don't applaud, especially not in the church. We boo and we talk about that person. Let me look at the exit sign. This is such a powerful truth that when your brother gets blessed and your sister gets blessed, you should rejoice. Once they were lost and now they're found. They're coming home, amen. When you see that somebody else is the favorite in the family and they got a little bit more inheritance than you, you got to put away that flesh, bro. And you got to say, thank you, Jesus. They got something because their whole life, they needed a little bit more. And I rejoice. That's the sort of heart that we need to have as the people of God. Not envy, not jealousy that we're having today. Am I preaching the gospel or am I preaching my gospel? No, we're preaching the gospel of Jesus today. Amen. Freedom allows us to live in liberty, but not so we can do what we want to do. Freedom allows us to obey God, even in a greater dimension. Do you understand that today? Amen? In Genesis chapter 3, why don't you read it with me and read it like a snake? You're going to use a s. Yeah, read it with me on three. You haven't had any fun all day. You've been talking back, but let's talk back now the word of God, right? Let's do this. Amen. Let's read it together. On three. One, two, three. Now the serpent, then any of the wild animals that the Lord had made. And he said to the woman, you must not. God has given us the Ten Commandments. And they're filled with thou shalt not, thou shalt not, thou shalt not. And he did that because he loved us. And anytime we break a command in the Old Testament, we feel it. We understand, especially as God's people. They're written for God's people. They weren't written for the world. They're written for the church. They're written for us. But it's not a thou shalt not. It's that I'm not going to do that so I can have life. Right. And if I do adultery, then it's going to take away my life. If I covet, then it's going to take away my life. If I use the name of the Lord in vain as God's child, then I'm going to hurt. I'm going to hurt God, but I'm going to hurt myself. Do you understand that today? And so we look at, like, I got all these rules to obey and be a good boy as a Christian and be a good girl as a Christian. No, it's not about that. It's that you get to do God now and obey God and His commandments because you have the ability that God's given you as a new life. I wish somebody would help me preach up here, and you get to do what God's told you to do with liberty and get to obey God. Well, I can't have any fun. No, you can have life abundant. But you make the choice today, amen? And so use your freedom to please God and to obey God now. Can I hear a good amen?
Amen.
And so Forky jumps out the window and he goes, I'm trash, I'm litter. And when he jumps out the window, you hear him say, freedom! And he jumps out the window and he hurts himself and he gets lost. And that's what God doesn't want to happen. He's put a protective covering over your life today. And he wants to include you today. Amen?
Amen?
And so we thank God for that today. Amen? Forky, he's made by Bonnie. She's his creator, and she defines him that he has freedom if he lives within the protection of her house and her toys today. The final thought is this today, as I give it to you today, is this. Somebody shout, new life.
New life.
There's redemption, there's love, and that brings power to change. Gabby is that little girl in that stroller and toy doll, and she's born defective. She doesn't have a voice box. And so she's rejected in the story. Her original owner, they play back the horrific scene when her voice box didn't work. And she ends up in this like thrift store, this antique store on the shelf. And she really wants to be taken by the granddaughter and Woody, because that's what love does, brings new life to people as an agent of God. He gives her his voice box. They have an operation. The voice box goes into Gabby, and she begins to, they pull the string, and the granddaughter finally notices her on the shelf because somebody pulls the string, these henchmen named Victor. They're kind of scary. Be careful with that guy. Amen? Yeah. She's the first enemy in the Toy Story 4 that they have that she gets redeemed by love, by a gift. The rest of them go away, but not Gabby. Yeah, she gets redeemed, and she realizes that she doesn't have to hurt people anymore, like she wanted to hurt Woody, like she wanted to hurt Forky. Eleanor Roosevelt used that term that we use in the church, hurting people hurt, and healed people heal people. She didn't say that, but we say that in the church. And so when somebody hurts you, and they probably will this week, it's because they're hurting. And if you could see their pain, they've probably been hurting for years. You would have compassion towards, you'd pray for them, you'd love them, and you'd say, God, help them, because they really are hurting today. That precious lady that realized she hurt somebody in our church years ago just brought flowers to that person and said, I know I hurt you, but here's a love gift, here's a peace offering, so to speak. She hurt so many people, she bought the whole flower shop eventually. I'm just joking. She didn't do that. You know what she began to do? Because she was once hurting, she got healed, and she began healing people. And you can do that. You can be the Woody that gives somebody love and that heals them today. Amen? Amen? Eventually, we all are on a mission to stop hurting people today. Amen? She realizes when she gets the voice box from Woody that she's no longer garbage. Woody has to rescue her out of the garbage, and she becomes a toy and somebody's best friend that is lost. It's a beautiful story again. And so new life brings us to community and discipleship. Do you know that friendship is a gift from God? Do you know if somebody is your friend, listen to me, somebody's your friend, that's a very good, and that's something precious, whether it's your husband, your wife, whether it's a brother or sister in this church. And so don't take it lightly when somebody becomes your friend or a brother in this church. Don't take it lightly that you're married and supposed to walk with each other for the rest of your life. That's a friendship born of God today. Amen? Amen. And so the Bible speaks of in Thessalonians that we are to help even the new believer in Christ. Diane Ruiz told me something about the new members class, which is our growing in faith class. That's what we call it. She said, I knew that I had this idea about growing in faith, but now I realize how important it is. I realize that I should teach people not the foundational, but not the simple things. I used to think it was simple. No, it's not that. It's meat. It's foundational. And I'm making a difference. That's the work of God. Do you understand that today? And so in Thessalonians, it talks about that Paul, the apostle, he's not interested really in giving himself something anymore. He wants to give away his life, and we should be on that mission too about new life towards other. In Thessalonians, with a mother's love and affection attached to it, you were very happy to share with you. I was very happy to share with you the gospel of our God, but also our lives. In other words, our blood, sweat, and tears, because you were so... You meant that much to me today, amen? It's been said that people don't care how much you know until they know how much you You care, right?
Amen.
Yeah, I was there. And you were there with me, and you saved my life, man. And you, and that's what makes relationships so keen today. I received a letter a few weeks ago, and a mama gave me permission to do this. And it's a precious letter from one of the sons that's not here right now, because he can't be. And he writes to her, "Mom, I just wanted to let you know how much I love and adore you. You are my life. And for being my mama, I couldn't have asked for a better mom. You've given me the world." Well, it's that time of the year again for Thanksgiving and Christmas. It's going to be hard to be apart for the holidays. So don't be sad. We'll be together in spirit. Mama told me that that's the first time that her son has ever used those words, together in spirit, and he has an understanding about his spiritual life now. But when I get out, maybe we can make a small gobble-gobble or a ham and invite the family over, grandchildren. And I'm reading, Mom. I'm on my third book. They're not big books, but they're medium-sized books so I can finish. And by reading them and being here in jail, I realize all my sins and all my mistakes. See, that's a man, even though he's in jail, I just need to pause here. He knows he's free. You can hear it. He's not at that great. He's not behind bars. He's free. He said, and all the sins and mistakes I've done, from taking from you, my wife, my customers, my neighbors, and also, I know this sounds kind of weird, even stealing from myself, by pawning things. I'm sending you a little love gift. I had it custom made for you from one of the guys here. Believe it or not, it's made from hard plastic and plastic bags. It's so creative. I'm going to send you something else soon. I'm signing off right now. Take care, and I love you. And he signs it from your son. She let me borrow these precious gifts that he made for her, had it made, and they're beautiful rings. That son can't be here, and he wants to be here. He's free, even though he's incarcerated. How sad would it be for all of us in this room that we're here and we're still incarcerated? We're still behind bars. Because God wants to give you new life, new freedom at this very moment. Amen. Today. Bonnie created a toy named Forky out of trash. And God created you out of the dust. And he breathed into your life. And you resurrected and you became a being today. That's how he created man. His very essence, the uniqueness of God is within your life. The personality that you have is from God today. It's no accident. You're meant to have that life that God intended you to have today. Amen? And I think of the last minute details as I finish up the last scripture today. So you're encouraged. I know you're bored today. I can see it. The last moments of Jesus' life before he went to the cross, they weren't really filled with all these details. If it would have been me, make sure there's batteries in the microphone. Make sure somebody's taking out the dog because he needs to go to the rep. Make sure all these things are covered. Checklist, checklist, checklist. Jesus, he doesn't do any of that. He says, let love be your mark on how you live the rest of your lives because I'm going to go away.
Amen.
But I want people to know you by your love and the way that you love each other. And look what he tells them. Are you there with me today?
Amen.
Why don't you read it on three with me? Because maybe that'll wake you up. Are you there? One.
Yes.
Okay, let's do it on three. One, two, three, go. I've told you these things for a purpose. This is my command. Love one another as I have the way I've loved you. And the best way to love, put your life on the line for your friends. I no longer call you servants, because servants don't understand what their master is thinking or planning. No. Signs his name on you today. Yeah, he loves you that much today that he no longer calls you servants. He calls you his friend. A rabbi would not do that to his disciples during that time. He would call them basically his servants. You young 12 disciples, you're going to learn from me. You're going to sit at my feet and learn. No, Jesus said, no, now I'm going to whisper in your ear. You're going to know the master's plans. I'm going to go to my father. We're going to have this intimate relationship that you're hearing everything I'm saying. We're planning it out together because we're friends now. Amen. From servants to being a friend today. Amen. Would you bow your heads and pray? Now, Father, I thank you for a new identity and a new freedom right now in God's people today. And Lord, I ask you right now, if anybody in this house is wondering about their identity, give them that purpose, Lord, of what they're supposed to be about the rest of their lives, Father. Or give it to them, Lord, in a snapshot like you've been giving it to me for years, Lord. I may not know what's going to happen in 10 years, but I know what I'm supposed to be about and what my assignment is, Lord. So do that with God's people. You're not a respecter of persons. If you're in this place today as a Christian and you have that habit, that thing, that anger, that pride, and you recognize before a holy God, you need to let that go because you want to be free from it. Maybe it's a substance thing that is a habit that's bringing you and killing you, basically, and you know that. Today you want to be set free. Whom the Son sets free is free indeed. I pray that you have the obedience of God in your life and the freedom of God that you get to obey. And you love God so much that you obey His commands. And you do it not as a taskmaster or something of a task, but you do it as a relationship that's born within you. Because you love God the Father. You love what Jesus did on the cross for you today. You fall in love over and over with Jesus today. Mark that upon the people of God in this room. I always want to give you an opportunity as your heads are bowed and your eyes are closed, no one looking around, and you say, I need forgiveness of my sins. I need new life. My life, the way I've been living, I thought it was all about me. I thought I would grow old and die. I never knew that I was supposed to live beyond myself, that I have a legacy, that I'm supposed to do something with my life today. So if that's you today and you need a Savior, you're lost or you're far away from God, if that's you today, would you lift your hand slightly and say, that's me, include me in a prayer. I won't embarrass you. I'll just note your hand and I'll pray for you right where you're at. If that's you, would you lift your hand? God bless you, Mina. Somebody else, making sure I'm proud of you. God bless you. You can put your hand down. I see it. Daughter in the Lord. Somebody else. I saw your hand go up, son. I believe you. Yes, you can put it down. God is here. Amen. At this very moment, amen, God's doing something in people's lives. Yes. About three hands went up. For the people that lifted their hand, let's pray this prayer out loud. All the sinners that are saved by grace, pray this prayer with me. Amen. If you're watching right now, pray this prayer right now. Mean it with all your heart. Right now, we pray this. Father, in the name of Jesus, forgive me of my sins. thank you for a new beginning. May Jesus be lifted up in my life today. Thank you for a new beginning. Thank you that I'm not lost anymore. Thank you, Jesus. Fill God's people with the Holy Spirit right now. Thank you for the Holy Spirit filling them afresh, God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God. And may the Lord bless you. May the Lord keep you. May the Lord make His face to shine upon you. May the Lord be gracious to you and give you His peace. Thank God for the peace of God. In the name of Jesus, come on, living faith. Bless the Lord. Your collective prayers. One of my friends was so lost that he tried to take his life, and I don't need to tell you who he is. Don't ask me who he is, but he's a dear friend of Irma and I and family. I want to pray for him collectively because his life needs to be saved. Father, touch that man. And I come into an agreement, Lord, like a brother, like if one of my brothers was hurting here, I would pray, Lord, save his life. And let him know that his identity is not depression, Lord. His identity is not to commit suicide. Give him a new beginning, Lord. Thank you, God. Thank you, Jesus, for the touch of Jesus upon his life. Let him come back to you fully. Bless his family. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen and amen. Today, to God be the glory. Earlier, I told you about the growing in faith class. Dinah Ruiz will be at the Welcome Center. She can tell you all about that. 9 a.m. it happens. It's free. It's our basic discipleship, but it's very strong. It's foundational. You need to be part of that, especially if you lifted your hand today. The other thing that I need to tell you about is the connection card. It's usually found under the seat pockets in front of you. You have to stretch for them. But in those connection cards are ways that you can tell me, today I dedicated my heart to Jesus. Today I gave my heart to Jesus. Today I need this prayer request. You can write that out. Irma and I pray for you every week. It's our heart, it's our mission to pray for our church, and we do that on a daily basis. And those finally got off our table. So if you want us to pray for you, we will, and we'll do that this week today. Amen. We're going to welcome our new members today at Living Faith Church. They were with me in a connection luncheon that we had last week, and we're going to receive our new members today, and thank God our elders are going to come stand with me. We'll do this at the bottom and of our